Good morning. 7 minutes after 7 o'clock, John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A preliminary report from the Veterans Administration Inspector General confirms that at least 1,700 veterans in Phoenix were never officially added to wait lists and may still be waiting for medical care. Meanwhile, calls for the resignation of VA Secretary Eric Shinseki are growing. We're going to spend the hour talking about this issue with two members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation, trying to find out what action is needed in the wake of these revelations and how bipartisan we can make the solution. What's your answer to the VA scandal? If are you a veteran? Would like to hear from you this hour if you've had interactions with the VA medical establishment. What has your experience been? Give us a call here at 800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or leave a comment on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll start our conversation this morning with Ron Kind, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Welcome, Congressman Kind, to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, John. Glad to be with you.
Okay, so there was a report released Wednesday by the VA's Inspector General. 1,700 veterans in Phoenix never placed on official wait lists might never have received care. A whistleblower has also asserted that of those, 40 died while waiting for care. I mean, just how bad is this, and where besides Phoenix are we seeing problems?
Well, the preliminary report is completely unacceptable, and all of us have to elevate our game, from General Shinseki at the VA to the president, all the way down to members of Congress who have to conduct more oversight. And, John, my recommendation is to any veteran in Wisconsin who may be encountering any difficulty with the VA health care that they need, contact the representative's office so we can intervene and we can look into it. And we might be able to expedite appeals or whatever. But what I've discovered over the last couple of weeks as I've toured a lot of the VA centers and clinics in Wisconsin, it's not a quality of health care issue once they get into the system. It's a access issue. It's a waiting list issue. And there's something that should have been anticipated long before all this is coming to a head right now, especially with two wars in the last decade, with 2 million veterans coming home with physical and mental needs that have to be addressed. And so this is a wake-up call, I think, for the entire nation to be concerned about the health care access and treatment that our veterans earned and that they deserve, and we've got to fix now.
So, this is really a kind of blown up because of all of the veterans we have in the system now, with two wars, as you point out. Does the VA have the capacity to handle the numbers of veterans who need medical care?
Well, again, 2 points I'd make there. One, this is not going to get fixed overnight. A lot of this has been building for quite some time, the wait list and that. What is completely unacceptable are the bogus lists that were being created and the manipulation of the data in certain centers and certain regions of the country. That is where the hammer has to be lowered. But beyond that, I think we have a system-wide challenge as far as access and the appeal process when it comes to disability claims. But this is something that we're wrestling with in the entire healthcare system. There's increased demand for skilled nursing, and there's a shortage in that area. Primary care physicians. A lot of the clinics I visited over the last couple of weeks are screaming for dermatologists. And this is true in the private sector as well. So this really is another, I think, signal that we've got to increase the job training and the educational system to address the shortfall of healthcare provider needs. And that's where I compliment University of Stevens Point that's initiated a program to identify where the shortages lie and how do we train up students, that next generation, to step into these fields. Or the Health Science Consortium in La Crosse, which is a coalition of the local healthcare providers, the academic institutions, the private sector, trying to address healthcare shortages. So I don't want people to believe this is just unique to the VA system. This is a challenge we face healthcare system-wide right now.
You're calling for an independent bipartisan panel to investigate these allegations of long delays and other problems at the VA. The VA is already investigating on its own, so what would be the purpose of this bipartisan panel?
Well, to add credibility and to try to depoliticize this. Listen, no matter what the issue is, it tends to turn into a political football here in Washington and, unfortunately, throughout the country. And if we can create a bipartisan blue ribbon commission made up of distinguished, reputable people to conduct a quick investigation, identify what the problem is, recommendations of what the fix needs to be, and most importantly, how do we prevent this from ever occurring again in the future? It can add urgency to it and try to get it out of the political arena. I think those who are attempting to politicize the situation are doing our veterans in this country a great disservice. I think there's a universal goal that has no party allegiance to take proper care of our veterans. And if we can approach the issue on that basis rather than trying to score cheap political points, then hopefully this is going to get fixed a lot better for those who have been neglected.
Well, how likely, given the current political atmosphere, is it that you'll be able to put a bipartisan panel together and that they would be able to work well together in finding solutions to these problems?
Well, I'm reaching out to the White House right now. They're obviously moving forward aggressively within the VA system itself with an internal audit. And there was internal audit teams, by the way, in Wisconsin, and they happened to stop by the Tomah VA Center recently, gave them a good bill of health. So that's ongoing. We have an ongoing Inspector General's investigation that hopefully will be concluded. We've got congressional oversight taking place right now. The president's dispatched some of his best budget advisors over to the VA to try to address any resource shortfalls and how do we narrow the wait list right now. But I think as the chorus continues to grow and as I'm afraid it's going to become more political than substantive, it's going to add greater urgency to a blue ribbon commission. And I've made recommendations who may serve on it. Former Senator Bob Dole, World War II vet, General Powell, Senators Webb and Max Cleland. Max Cleland, who actually headed up the VA system, is a double amputee from the Vietnam War. There can be a whole host of individuals that could comprise the panel, but I think it would add the type of focus and urgency that we need right now to address this issue.
Democrats and Republicans alike are calling for the resignation of VA Secretary Eric Shinseki. Are you among them?
Well, I think the standard needs to be what's going to be in the best interest of our veterans. If having Secretary Shinseki stay and address this as quickly as possible, is going to address this problem, fix it quickly, then we should do that. But if he is becoming more of a distraction than a help when it comes to fixing this, then I think he and the president are going to have to seriously consider him stepping down. But I think at this stage, it's still premature. We still don't have all the information. We don't know how systemic this is, how far up it went chain of command. We need that information in order to, I think, fairly hold people accountable.
Well, holding people accountable sounds a little bit like looking for who's to blame, which is what we normally do in a situation like this. A scandal blows up. Okay, who do we need to pin this on? What about finding an actual solution to some of these problems?
Well, I think it's twofold. One is if people were creating fake lists, if they were hiding the numbers, if they were disregarding the needs of the veterans and dropping them off from the waiting list. Well, that is unacceptable. They knew it was, and there has to be personal accountability for that. But ultimately, we've had a problem that we've known for quite some time, and that is a growing wait list to get into the VA system. Again, part of this is the two wars that we're coming out of right now. But also part of this, to this administration's credit, by the way, is there is now a presumption to treat Gulf War illness. There is now a presumption to treat Agent Orange sickness. There's a presumption to treat post-traumatic stress, where that presumption didn't exist in the past. But also to the president's credit, when he took office, he's the one that initiated the 14-day waiting list. There wasn't that type of standard in place before. And if he had not done that, we probably would not have uncovered the scandal that's unfolding right now. But he recognized when he came into office the wait list was way too long, the period before veterans who qualified were getting into the system, and they initiated those standards. Question may be asked of whether those standards were unrealistic, given the backlog and the challenges the VA system was establishing. But nevertheless, I think we do need certain goals and objectives to adhere to, and if they're not, then we have to address that.
We're talking about the what's going on with the VA with Congressman Ron Kind, Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, and with you at 800-642-1234. After 7:30, I'll be joined by Congressman Reed Ribble, a Republican from Wisconsin's 8th District. We'll continue our discussion of the VA scandal with Congressman Ribble as well later in the program. 800-642-1234. We're going to take a short break. We'll come back, have some phone calls. We've got some Facebook posts coming in, and we'll hear more from Representative Ron Kind. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. This hour we're talking about the Veterans Administration and the scandal that has overtaken it. A preliminary report from the Inspector General confirms that at least 1,700 veterans in Phoenix were never officially added to wait lists. That's just one of the things that is on the minds of people as they talk about this scandal. Ron Kind is with us, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. We have some callers. Let's take a call first from Chris in Amro. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My daughter is a vet, and we recently, in the last 4 years, got a new center in Appleton, Wisconsin. Prior to that, she had a 2-month wait. And even now, she has up to a month wait. And I think the basic systemic problem is lack of doctors and facilities. And I'll take my off the air.
Right. Chris, thanks for the call. Lack of doctors, lack of facilities. Congressman Kind?
Yeah, I think she's right. And again, that's what we were talking about a little bit earlier, is this is kind of system-wide within the healthcare system. Primary care physicians, skilled nursing, dermatologists, huge short supply, both in the VA system and in the private sector. So, you know, we need to do a better job of recognizing those shortfalls and what do we need to do to really ramp up the training and the educational programs to get that generation to move into these fields where there's great demand right now. But we're also going to have to rely more on advanced technology, telemedicine, to make it easier for veterans to get the care and treatment rather than having to travel great distances to a VA outpatient clinic or to a VA center. And that means, you know, the investment in broadband access, especially in rural communities where a lot of veterans happen to live. So there are a lot of different parts to this, John, but one of my concerns, I see a trend here in Washington, and it's been happening recently, is this great rush to extend tax breaks to large companies, but without paying for it. In fact, there have been bills reported out of committee that would add over $600 billion to our national deficit over the next 10 years because of these so-called tax extenders. None of it is being offset, and none of it's being paid. You wonder why that affects the VA health care in any way. Well, it leads to a shortage of revenue. And then the argument in later days or years that we don't have the money to do all this. We have to do indiscriminate, across-the-board spending cuts. And that's one reason why we've got computers in the VA system that can't talk to each other in the 21st century. So there has to be, I think, a sufficient recognition that there's going to have to be some additional resources deployed in order to address the access issue that we're facing in the healthcare system.
There was legislation in the Senate written by Democrats proposing 27 new VA facilities that was defeated by filibuster in February. Senator Sanders says he'll reintroduce it in June. Do you think that bill is going to be more likely to succeed now?
Well, I hope so. I hope, and again, this is something that I think a Blue Ribbon Commission can certainly identify, is if there are shortfalls as far as access in certain areas, how do we best address it? Can we merely expand existing facilities, or do we need new facilities to build out and address where there's some real challenges in our country? Right now, I think we have insufficient information to make that determination. And that's why, again, we've got to move forward as fast and aggressively with these investigations in order to find out what the true problem is and then what the reasonable fix should be.
Vern in Brule is with us on the phone this morning. Let's take that call next. Vern, go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I'm a 27-year combat vet, and I refuse to use the VA because of it takes so long to get care. I don't believe it's the secretary's fault for all this poor service that they've gotten. I believe that Congress has to look at the personnel leadership, senior leadership in the VA, who get all these big bonuses and for making their operation look so good, and the vet is the one that suffers. And Congressman Kind knows that they got a political system in within the VA that the administrators can circumvent the system to make their hospitals look better than any other and get the big bonuses.
Vern, thanks for the call. Representative Kind.
Well, I think Vern does raise a couple of very pertinent points. And first of all, Vern, thanks for your service, you know, to our nation. But that's one piece of information I've been asking for is how much has career advancement, pay levels, bonus payments been linked to them hitting these access goals, this 14-day waiting period? Because, again, when you create those objectives and those timelines, if it becomes a part of job review and job performance, you're almost begging for people to create these double lists and to cut corners in that. And that is something I think we're going to also have to address.
Vern, thanks for your call and for your service. Let's go next to Ralph in Little Suamico. Ralph, good morning.
Yes, good morning. It's just interesting that every few months something like this comes up, and it usually is the result of an audit, and then nothing happens. The people that did this, there is a person that said, oh, I've got this list, and it looks like people are waiting 60 days. Let's just change it to 14 days. Someone physically did that, and they never seem to get to that guy. Or if they do, they tell him, we're going to move you to a different facility or whatever. He should be fired. He should never be allowed to work for the government again. But it never reaches that point. It just kind of fades away. Just like Benghazi, it fades away. Nobody ever is found responsible for anything.
Ralph, thanks for the call. Representative Kind?
Well, Ralph, I agree. And this is why it has to be dealt with differently right now. Is if people were doing that, they knew it was wrong. There was no gray area here, and that's where the accountability has to lie. But people should also know that the VA is working right now with the Department of Justice, moving forward on possible criminal investigations based on some of the preliminary information that has come in. So I think, you know, the VA and DOJ are treating this very seriously. We're going to see where this ultimately ends up. But I think clearly these double lists were being created in certain facilities. Everyone involved with that knew it was wrong at the time, and there's going to have to be personal accountability.
Republicans in the House are proposing giving veterans access to the private health care system on the government's dime if they're dealing with delays at the VA. Do you think that's a solution, either temporary or long-term?
Well, it's already happening. You know, and again, this is an issue that I raised with the VA clinics around the state, that if there's a situation where a veteran has to come in and get care and treatment, if they can't get into the VA system right away, they go to a private provider in that immediate community, and then they are reimbursed through the VA system. So they already have that option. But I've always been supportive of more choices, more options for our veteran. I can say, though, I spoke to a lot of veterans when I was visiting the centers and the clinics around the state, and they were adamant in making clear that they were happy with the care, the treatment, the personal attention, and the camaraderie that they receive in the VA healthcare system. They have shared a unique experience that most people throughout the country haven't. And that I think that's what makes the VA pertinent and unique to their lives. But I think more of those choices, and certainly giving them the option of getting private care if the VA can't get them in right away, is something that is already occurring.
Here's a comment from Andy on Facebook who writes, I remember when Donald Rumsfeld said you go to war with the army you have, not the army you might want or wish to have at a later time. It looks like we went to war with the VA we have instead of the VA we want. The Bush administration should have addressed these issues before going to war in the first place.
Well, that's really the irony of where General Shinseki finds himself in right now. He was the general at the time who was sounding the alarm that the expectations of the Iraq invasion were way out of whack, that this was going to require a much greater troop involvement and level of resource and sacrifice in that country than what the Bush administration was calling for at the time. And it led to his dismissal by President Bush. And now we're finding that true when it comes to the back end of these conflicts, when it comes to the care and the responsibility we have for our veterans today. So I just find that extremely ironic that General Shinseki was really the first one sounding this concern of what, you know, make sure this nation knows what it's getting into before we start deploying troops in a faraway land in a prolonged conflict, because there are going to be hidden consequences to all of this.
Republican Senator Richard Burr was quoted in the New York Times this week speculating whether the current VA model is the right model for the 21st century. Do we need to take a look at a new model for delivering health care to our veterans?
Well, again, I think if you make the distinction, and most people are, that once they get into the system, the quality of care is very, very good. I think the model of care is working. In fact, the greater integration, the coordination, the patient-centered team approach is one that the VA has been working on for quite some time, and the outcomes are very, very good. Again, it gets back to an access issue. How do we reduce the wait times? How do we expedite the appeal process on disability claims? Because once they can get into the system, there seems to be very little complaints coming from the veterans in regards to the care and treatment that they do receive.
We've got less than a minute left, Representative Kind. What do you expect to happen in the next few weeks here?
Well, again, we're going to be moving forward as fast as we can with the congressional oversight, the IG investigation, you know, the Veterans Administration and DOJ working to try to get to the bottom of some of these centers. And then again, I just want to reemphasize, John, to the veterans who are listening, if they have been encountering a problem in whatever matter in dealing with the VA, please contact our offices. It's part of our job description to help and intervene and see if we can get this resolved as quickly as possible for them.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, John.
Ron Kind, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. We're going to continue this conversation after the news with Congressman Reid Ribble, Republican from Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District and co-chair of the No Labels Problem Solvers Caucus. That coming up after the news. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine today. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're asking what's going on with VA's medical arm. A preliminary report from the Veterans Administration Inspector General confirms that at least 1,700 veterans in Phoenix were never officially added to wait lists and may still be waiting for medical care. Calls for the resignation of VA Secretary Eric Shinseki are growing, and we're talking about all of that this hour. We heard from Congressman Ron Kind earlier in the hour, and now we welcome Republican U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District and Republican co-chair of the No Labels Problem Solvers Caucus, Reid Ribble. Congressman Ribble, welcome to the Joy Cardine program.
Hey, good morning, John. It's good to be on with you.
So this report that came out, 1,700 veterans in Phoenix never placed on official wait lists might not have received care. Whistleblower asserted that of those, 40 died while waiting for care. Do we know how bad all of this actually is? Do we know if there are places other than Phoenix where we're seeing problems?
Well, I think we're aware that there are problems in other parts of the country. We've heard anecdotal reports coming out of Colorado. Fortunately, here in Wisconsin, the VA is one of the better ones in the nation, yet our wait times are extraordinarily long. And so there is a systemic problem within the VA. And I will tell you, there's nothing that gets the bipartisan anger up than if our veterans aren't treated fairly. We've heard from both Democrats and Republicans this entire week, basically seeking to find answers and then possible solutions.
What have you heard from Wisconsin residents in your district seeking care from the Veterans Administration?
Yeah, I've heard several different things. I've got letters from veterans that saying, you know, Congressman, I realize that there's some problems there, but my care has been pretty good. And then on the other hand, I've got several veterans who have called me and contacted me and said, I need to get hearing aids for my 98-year-old father, who is a World War II veteran, and we've been told it's going to be an 8-month wait. They can't even get in to see an audiologist for 3 months, and dental problems taking forever, 7 to 8 months. I had a Marine Corps veteran, Vietnam-era veteran, who had surgery recently at the VA down in Milwaukee, came back up to his home in Green Bay, had lots of problems, and then they told him they couldn't get back to see him for 7 weeks, and he was in excruciating pain. And so these types of things are really problematic.
We have an email from Lori that I thought would be good to clarify some issues surrounding VA funding. Lori emails, are the VA hospitals funded directly from federal money, or is the money funneled to the states who then disperse these funds?
No, they're funded directly through the Department of Veterans Affairs. And to kind of give you a point of kind of a reference point here. The VA's budget has increased 256% over the last decade. So in 2002, it was $52.4 billion. In 2013, it's $134.1 billion. While simultaneously from 2002 to 2012, the unique patients inside the VA has increased by about 30%. So funding's gone up 256%, while the number of patients has gone up about 30%, just to give you some data points.
We just heard from Democratic Representative Ron Kind about his hope to create a bipartisan panel to investigate and find solutions for some of these problems. As a member of the No Labels group, does this strike you as a good idea?
Well, yeah. I mean, in theory, our committees of jurisdiction here in the Congress, whether it falls under the Veterans Affairs Committee, health care also falls under House Ways and Means and Energy and Commerce Committees. Those committees are all bipartisan panels. And so the work could begin right away. But I think in the short term, we ought to be offering up solutions that would provide immediate relief. That's why yesterday I dropped my own piece of legislation that would give veterans freedom of choice or flexibility to get their health care. My bill basically would authorize veterans to go to any health care provider they chose. If they like the service they're getting at the VA, they like their doctors at the VA, they could go there. If they would prefer to see a primary care or a specialist in Green Bay, Appleton, or down in Madison, they could go see that doctor. And they could make the decision themselves.
Well, it's not unusual for people to have to wait a couple of months to see their primary care physician absent some sort of emergency. I mean, if you just want to go in for a routine medical exam, you have to plan for those quite a while in advance. How does the VA compare to medical care generally?
It takes much longer, but much is a relative term. I don't know that I personally don't have the exact time breakdown between private sector care and VA care. We haven't drilled into the data that far to see what they are, and I think it would vary around the country. Again, we're fortunate in Wisconsin because we have very good health care across the entire spectrum. And you're correct, it can take some time to get into a primary care physician, and it can take some time to get into to see a regular specialist on any type of thing. However, what I'm saying is let's give that veteran the choice, that they should be able to go wherever they want and wherever the service is best. Why should a veteran in Oconto have to drive to Green Bay or Milwaukee when they can get care right there if they choose?
Mm-hmm. 800-642-1234, talk at WPR.org or the Joy Cardine Facebook show, Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, all great ways to get in touch with us this morning. Let's take a quick call here from Brad in Jefferson. Brad, good morning.
Morning. I'm a veteran. I use VA healthcare in Wisconsin. I had asked for help with my seasonal depression back on December 3rd of last year. In February, they called to schedule an appointment. I find that unacceptable. I had been seeing a counselor at the VA on a regular basis for my mental health, and then at one point, they told me they don't do preventative care, so that ended. Also, every doctor I see is like an intern, and that doesn't always work out. One time, the intern called me and misdiagnosed me with bone cancer, when in fact it was just my medication, and the guy couldn't read a blood test. Long-term, we just need to stop creating disabled vets. So that means end these wars for profit, and the key to that is to stop the CIA from starting wars. Thank you.
Brad, thanks for your call. Congressman?
Yeah, Brad, your story is not uncommon. I hear this on a regularly frequent basis, particularly when it comes to mental health. And if you're struggling with depression, we can take a look at the numbers on veterans related to suicide, and the speed in which you can get into the mental health care system is really essential to provide whatever support that you might need. And your comment related to getting into wars, I think that we need to be doing a much better job on avoiding war as opposed to always using manpower and weapons to solve problems in this world. And so I'm not the war guy. I would prefer that we never get into another war ever, and that would be one way to address it. But, John, this issue on mental health, we're seeing this nationally. It's not in this case, it's not just inside the VA. It's a national crisis where we're not drawing enough psychologists, social workers, and psychiatrists into that particular specialty, and the nation is going to have to somehow address it, because typically when there is an over amount of demand, prices move up and supply begins to come into some type of equanimity with demand. But we're not seeing it in psychiatric care. And we have to find a way to induce more students to go into psychiatric care and try to speed up the educational process. I heard Ron Kind talk about that a little bit in the last or previous half hour.
Let's take a quick call from Cody in Oshkosh before we go to our break here. Cody, good morning. Cody, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I would support Mr. Ribble's bill to allow veterans to go to private practice. I think we have a systemic problem, not just in the VA, but across the country. I support a single-payer system where we pay half as much as we do now. Every other industrialized country pays a half to a third of what we pay for everybody to have insurance, and that would solve a lot of our problems and get rid of Obamacare that is creating probably as many problems as it's solving. Thank you.
Cody, thank you for your call. Congressman?
Yeah, Cody, I appreciate your comments. The one point of this, though, that I think you maybe as you're looking into ideas and solutions yourself, the VA system is a pure single-payer system, and it's not working. And as you drive the costs down, you have to begin to control those costs at the provider or provision side of it, or the service side of it. And this is exactly what's going on. It's a single-payer system, but yet I talk to VA doctors, and they say, well, I'm restricted to seeing just this many patients. I'm restricted to only so many hours a day of work. So if I'm a surgeon, for example, and I'm going to be facing a two-hour surgery, but my shift ends at 3 and this patient comes in at 1, I can't take them, because what happens if that surgery goes 2 hours and 20 minutes or 3 hours because of some problem? And single payer is not necessarily, in my opinion, the solution, because this is the system that is inside the VA right now. I think ultimately injecting some form of competition with the VA by letting veterans go wherever they want, what you're likely to see is private sector health providers and the VA now competing for that patient, and you're going to see both sides up their game a bit.
We're talking about what's happening at the VA and what we ought to do about it. My guest in this half hour is Reid Ribble, Republican U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the VA this hour on the Joy Cardine program. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network. My guest in this half hour is Reid Ribble, Republican U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. Congressman, the Democrats have proposed, had a bill in the Senate to add more facilities to the VA. It was killed in February. Bernie Sanders says he's going to bring it up again. Do you think this bill has any chance of succeeding? And if it did, would it be at least a partial solution to the problem?
Well, I'm not sure that's the core problem. I don't know that more bricks and mortar is a solution to anything. If we're going to do anything in the way of investing inside the VA, it has to be in human resources, more physicians, more nurses, and more psychiatrists. Ultimately, I think that's where any type of money should go. Right now, there are 151 medical centers, 300 vet centers, and 820 community-based outpatient clinics in the country. I don't think that's a particularly good use of resources. I would rather see that money put into physician compensation, nurse compensation, and recruitment.
One of the things, and this is something that Congressman Kind raised as an issue, is that it, just in general, there's a shortage of primary care physicians in the country, psychiatric workers. You brought that up yourself. How do we encourage more people to go into those fields, and how do we then encourage them to go to work for the VA?
Well, I think the bigger thing is you have to stop any disincentives or try to turn back the disincentive for people to go into these types of careers. And one of those disincentives is the extreme cost of getting through the educational system to become a doctor and the debt load that's there. And so when you look at it specifically as it relates to the VA, if you're a college student, you're in year three or four of your residency, and you're trying to make a determination of where you're going to go and what type of specialty you're going to go, there's a couple of determinations that often happen. One is locale. Where do I want to live in the country? And then the other one is centered around compensation. And so we often see certain specialties that are very highly compensated drawing people, and then specialties that we have high need, like psychiatric care and primary care, which are among the lower paid specialties in medicine, getting the short shrift on it. And at the end of all of this, I believe that if the marketplace could work more efficiently, pay would go up at the bottom, and it might get compressed at the top on specialty. But I don't think you're going to find a VA system or hospital that's going to compete effectively in those cases in psychiatric care or primary care compared to what doctors can get in the private sector. I don't think the pay is commensurate.
Well, and Susan from Shell Lake has an email that's exactly to that point. Susan emails this: reports tell us that VA doctors are paid, I think, 30% less than private sector providers. What do we do about that? If it's 30% less, these doctors simply won't take the patients, right?
Well, correct. But the part of the reason that they're paid less is because of the very restrictive work rules that you have inside the VA system. Primary care physicians in the private sector see way more patients than primary care physicians inside the VA. They typically work longer hours because they are directly compensated for that amount of time that they're spending in. And so the work rules inside the VA restrict or put a cap on earning capacity within the system. And certainly, if you could open that system up a little bit, you would be able to recruit more docs and nurses and care providers into the system itself. She makes a good point.
One of the things that we haven't talked about yet, some Democrats, some Republicans alike, calling for the resignation of Secretary Shinseki. Where are you on that?
Yeah, I called for his resignation about 2 weeks ago, maybe even 3 weeks ago now. Secretary Shinseki came in 2009, so he's been there 5 years, made a lot about identifying what the problems were within the VA 5 years ago. And yet here we are 5 years later in a worse place maybe than where we were when he started. However, I don't think necessarily cutting the head off is going to solve the problems inside the VA. It would be a start to, A, put in accountability, but then you also have to provide accountability for the secretary to deal with upper-level managers who are also not producing. And so I believe it's one part of the problem. 5 years is a long time to turn something around, and he hasn't been able to do it. And I don't bear any ill will to the secretary. I think he's trying to do the best he can, but he hasn't been able to get the job done. And
well,
you would see that all throughout the military, where they would then begin to stop promotions and moving people up if they don't perform.
I guess one of the things that I've thought about as this news story has developed, I remember my father, who was a World War II veteran. He passed away in 1996, but he had a lot of interactions with the VA medical system, and he complained a lot about it back in the 80s.
So did my dad. My dad was a World War II veteran as well. He was receiving VA care down in Florida. However, an interesting dynamic with the World War II vets, they still wanted to go to their VA doc because they really felt that, listen, this is a right and an earned benefit that I have. And they continue to go even though the VA struggled. And
right.
This goes back to my earlier comments about single-payer healthcare systems. They're not always the most efficient way to deliver care.
Here's something from Tom on Facebook who says, in any large organization, there are going to be some people who can't follow the rules and use bad judgment to cover up their shortcomings. Let's investigate the problem, fire the people personally responsible, and replace them with competent employees that will give our vets the service they deserve.
I agree.
The Republican Senator Richard Burr was quoted in the New York Times this week speculating whether the current VA model is the right model for the 21st century. Just based on our conversation in this half hour, it sounds like you might agree with him.
I would agree with him. The real question is how do we provide or empower veterans to take control of their own status wherever they live, and let them go to whatever physician they want. And I'm not here advocating for dismantling the VA, because there are many veterans who are getting good service from the VA. They like their doctors and they're totally happy with it. I think they ought to be able to continue to have that service. However,
okay,
where you're not getting the service, or you can't get to see a psychiatrist, or can't even get an appointment for 3 months or a callback, like Brad said, that's a real problem. And so Brad ought to be able to go see someone right locally where he is. And I think you will see some shifting here as the Congress responds to these new reports.
So what are the next steps involved in solving these issues with the VA? What do you want to see happen? What do you expect to see happen?
Yeah, I expect to see the on the House of Representatives side, I expect to see our Veterans Affairs Committee move on pieces of legislation like the one that I offered yesterday. Now, it's not a perfect piece of legislation. The committee is going to get it. They're going to improve on it. They're the experts in this. They'll do their hearings and come up with policy reforms to drive something forward. The good thing about this is I also believe the Senate will do something, and so it will happen in a bipartisan fashion, because the Senate is controlled by Democrats, the House is controlled by Republicans. Each one will respond with their type of reform. And at that point, then, I think you get the best blend of ideas from both sides of the political spectrum to end up with a more positive result here.
So how optimistic are you that we can create sustainable, meaningful reform?
I'm optimistic, and I'll tell you why, John. And I started the whole conversation here. There's nothing that gets members of Congress more engaged than working on behalf of our veterans. And so this is a purely bipartisan effort. Democrats and Republicans both want to see reforms happen and happen quickly. I know that Ron Kind offered a commission of some type as part of the solution. My concern is that that's what we always do, and that's what Congress has a history of doing. When they're faced with tough decisions, the first option is, well, let's study it. Let's create a commission to mm-hmm. study it. And then you get a study that nobody reads or acts on. The Inspector General offers studies every single year.
And
there's all kinds of things that could be done in lieu of a study. Let's put the money into service and care.
Okay. And we're out of time, Congressman. Rebel, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Reed Ribble, Republican U.S. Representative in Wisconsin's 8th District. Christy Taylor produced and directed this program. Robin Cherry handled on-air production. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine.